Welcome to Heart of the Father Ministries and the preaching and teaching ministry of Dr. David Nichols. Our prayer for you is that this message will pierce your heart and raise you into your place of destiny in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. All right, we're going into the Word here tonight. Do you love the Word of God?
Yes.
Man, I do. I want you to pray this right out loud. Say, Father,
Father,
I ask you now
to fill my mind and heart
with the power of your love.
I choose tonight
to be a releaser of your love
into the people in my life world.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 103, verse 3. It's one of my favorite healing scriptures. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about the healing power of Father's love. Those of you that have been coming to the Institute, the Healing Institute, month by month, you know, you've heard a number of different perspectives, and praise God for it. Our goal and our dream with this institute, as it comes forth from IAHM, International Association of Healing Ministries, our dream in this is to raise you guys up to the point where you are healing the sick right where you live, right where you work, right where you shop, right where you minister. And we believe this weekend here, this month, is going to be another big part of that. I have ministered the healing power of Jesus all over the world, sometimes to thousands of people at a time. And tonight, we are going to just focus in, we're going to kind of tightly focus on an area that I really don't believe has received enough attention. And I believe it'll really help you. So in Psalm 103, verse 3. Well, in this psalm, you got to start at verse 1, especially after the worship we just had. You can't just start at verse 3, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Yes.
Who forgives a few of your iniquities.
Oh.
Well, excuse me, I was reading from the UV, the unbelief version.
Oh, you still have your She's
Let's get back to the real Bible here, okay?
The unbelief.
Who forgives all your iniquities, amen? And who heals some of your diseases. That old UV just keeps trying to creep back in there. No, the Bible says who heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. Now, if we're going to get there, and that is the reality that the Bible puts out in front of us, we're going to have to understand healing in a number of different approaches, at a number of different angles. I know you understand that not everything that goes wrong with the human body happens in the same way. And I know you also understand that when Jesus went to those final hours of his life, to pay the price for sin, number one. And number two, to pay the price for the healing of our bodies. He was putting in place an amazing sacrifice that was going to establish the work of God, the peace of God, the truth of God for all time and for all people. Can anybody say amen to that? At the core and at the center of what Christianity
is number one, forgiving all our iniquities. Number two, healing all our diseases. Hallelujah. I personally have been leading in meetings at least 11 times in the last number of years, where every single person that was ministered to was healed. Hallelujah. I praise God for that. My example is Jesus, who did that very same thing 7 times in the gospel records, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 7 times Jesus healed everybody that was there. So if you're wondering about the will of God in healing, let your knowledge about that and your decision about that be informed by what Jesus did, and also by what this verse says. Now, specifically tonight, we're gonna plug in one piece of the puzzle here tonight in 1 John chapter 4. And verse 18. It says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I would suggest to you tonight that there is a whole class of diseases and illnesses that people get that are not caused by germs, they're not caused by trauma, they're not caused by any kind of biological factor. They are caused by fear, stress, and anxiety. It's not everything that goes wrong with people by any means, but it is a very big segment of it. I would further say to you tonight that if we could dig deeper into the reality of this perfect, unconditional love of the Father and the release of it, we could be much more effective in getting people healed of these kinds of diseases. And here's why. I remember growing up as a boy in the Pentecostal church, and our church believed in healing. People did get healed in our church, but there were several understandings that were floating around in the atmosphere there that were kind of, you know, if you went up and you got prayed for and you didn't have the manifestation of the healing, you didn't have enough faith. You know, you, the person receiving prayer, that is. We never talked about what about the faith of the person doing the praying. What about the faith of the whole congregation? I mean, there's a lot of levels you can talk about on faith. And there was stuff like that floating around. And I'm just here to tell, there was another one we had too, and that is, some people were teaching in those times that whatever is wrong with you, it's your fault and you caused it. Okay? Now, here's the problem with that teaching. It tries to take something that can be true in certain cases and applies it to everybody. And it most certainly is not true. When a trauma occurs to your body, the devil's gonna try to make you, oh, I was an idiot. You know, I stepped up in front of the bus and the bus ran me over. But it's the trauma that did the damage to your body. And so when we go to get you healed, we rebuke trauma. We don't sit there and say, you idiot, you stepped out in front of the bus. We don't do that. Okay? Now, this subgroup of things that goes wrong in people's bodies, from fear, stress, and anxiety, I'm going to tell you tonight, some of them the people cause to themselves. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to forgive them. We're going to love them.
And we're going to tell them that Jesus has an answer to their problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think our testimonies that we give you tonight will help you understand this. But let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. I am a guy that believes that the words of this book have power. How many are with me here tonight? The inspiration of Scripture by the breath of God means that the Bible, when you come to it with faith, and you let the Holy Spirit illuminate it and bring its revelation to your heart and soul, power can be released very easily. It's the Spirit and the Word uniting together. So let's go after this whole thing of diseases that are caused by fear, stress, and anxiety. And let's understand tonight that every one of them can be healed by a deeper ministry of the Father's perfect love into the soul of the person. One other thing I need to say before we go to Proverbs is this. All of us here tonight that are in this room, I believe pretty much all of us, looking around, you have been raised in a Western civilization, not Eastern. You have been told either directly or indirectly that the Greek view of the human being is the right view. Now, a lot of you have been studying the Bible and the Word, and you've been hanging out with Jesus, and been learning contrary to that, but that's what's just with us here in this civilization that we live in. And the Greek view of the human being comes not from the Bible, it comes from Plato and Aristotle, two very famous Greek philosophers. And it says the human being is dualistic, two main parts. And the part that really matters is the non-material part, your soul and your spirit. The body is just this husk. It's just this thing that happens to have to be there. It's kind of necessary for you to be hanging out in this world. Everyone look down at your body and say, thanks, body. Now, that's the Greek view of your human life. And then there's the Hebrew view. It is the view that is shared pretty much from Genesis to Revelation in this book. And that is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is that your body, along with your soul and your spirit, are all a part of the image of God. That God... You remember back there in Genesis, God didn't come down and say, well, I'm going to create me a soul here and a spirit in this guy named Adam. Oh, yeah, he's got to have a body. What a bummer. Because he's going to live in a world, you know, where there's trees and animals and all this stuff. He's got to have a body. I hate that, but see, that's what the Greek view would try to have us cast back on God. And that's not God's attitude. God loves our bodies. He loves our souls. He loves our spirits. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. He loves our whole persons. And that's very different than the Greek view. So if you're recognizing something in a lot of things you were told in school and in different places as you were growing up, let's get ourselves in line with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So over here in Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 30, here's what it says. A sound heart is life to the body. Now, I don't believe that first means your physical heart. It does mean that secondarily, but I think what that first means is your spiritual heart within you, the core of your being that is comprised of a number of things, including your emotions and your will, and it's down there in your soul. It's your heart. And this verse says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Wow. Does the Bible really say that? That if you willingly give yourself over to envy, that it will begin to rot your bones from the inside out. We're going to read a number of scriptures here that talk about our bones. And I want to just tell you tonight, our bones are more important than we have been led to believe. So much of our health, so much of our wholeness happens by what is done in the marrow of our bones, and the medical community is finally, research is finally establishing this over the last 10 or 15 years or more. Your immune system, the very seat of it, is in the marrow of the bones. And I want to tell you tonight that the enemy of your soul is also the enemy of your body. Satan wants to stop you. Yes, he's going to bring depression against your soul. Yes, he's going to try to put you in fear. And Satan understands if you walk in fear for months and months and years of time, and then you come along and you throw in some envy, as this verse says, it's going to literally make you sick. It has millions of people. The Bible says so. Now, let's go on to another verse here. Stay with me. This is going to get really good. Chapter 15 and verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Wow. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In other words, when our tongue is speaking blessing, when our tongue is speaking favor, when our tongue is coming into agreement with the Word of God, all these good things are happening. Perverseness in the speech breaks the spirit. And what happens when your spirit begins to be broken inside of you is it's much easier to get you sick. It's much easier to get you discouraged. It's much easier for all kinds of things to happen, even at the realm of your physical body. See, the Greek dualism says, that stuff's all just up there if it's in the soul and the spirit, it'll never, your body, that's just this thing down here. They're totally separate. Don't ever worry about that. I'm telling you that's wrong. You are a unity of being, spirit and soul and body.
Right.
And what happens in your body many times is an outcome of what's been happening in your soul within you over a long, long period of time. Let me give you a testimony about this. We have a meeting at our facility up in Rush City the last Friday night of every month called Friday Night Fire. And we have an amazing time up there. About 2 months ago, this lady walked in that I'd never seen in my life. She was in such pain that she was stooped over. She said, I've been to the doctors. They've given me everything they can. We're talking shots. We're talking everything that they've got. And the pain is in my back. I said, Jesus is greater than that pain. She looked up at me, seriously. She looked up at me and she said, I want to believe that. I said, you're going to get some help here tonight. At the end of the service, she came up. She told me a little bit more about her situation. And then the Holy Ghost took over. How many of you know the gifts of the Spirit need to combine together sometimes? Hallelujah. Words of knowledge, prophecies, discerning of spirits, praise God. You know, if you ask Him, the Lord will give you gifts right when you need them the most. Man, I needed them with this lady. I mean, what do? Send her back out on the street the way she came? I'm not good with that. How about you?
No.
I want to see her set free.
Yes.
Okay. So, she says to me, well, as I've been sitting here and through the ministry of the word and everything, I've kind of come to understand that I have this unforgiveness against these people. I said, aha, now we're getting somewhere. I said, all right, would you be okay with me leading you in a prayer where you forgive them? Oh, man, what they said and what they did. Perverseness of speech broke her spirit. She said, wow. She said, really? I said, yeah, that's what we got to do. That's got to be the next thing. I said, okay. So she did. She said the words that I said, and she forgave those people. I believe she really meant it. Now, the Holy Ghost came in there, and in the spirit, I saw this knife in her back.
Yeah.
You know the saying we always use, they stuck a knife in my back? And you know, we mean it's a figure of speech. We mean a figurative knife, right? Not a piece of steel, okay? I'm looking in the spirit, I'm like, whoa, this thing is a dagger with about an 8-inch blade. This thing is sticking out the back of her back. And I'm like, oh, dear, you got a knife in your back. May I pull it out now, please? Please. And we both agreed right then in the presence of Jesus and the Holy Ghost, and we pulled that knife out of her back. Now listen carefully, please, especially you guys from the Healing Institute. This is important. I expected that she would be instantly healed when that knife came out of her back, but she wasn't. She said, oh, it hurts worse. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Would you please try bending over to touch the floor? She looked at me. She gave me the look. I don't bend over. I said, no, just try it little by little. Don't rush anything. Just try it when you're ready. She started going like this, really slow. And when she got down with her fingertips on the floor, she was crying, tears of joy, because she was completely healed of all of the pain, all of the whole problem. And it was gone. Then she stood up, then she leaped and danced and praised Jesus. And her pain was at a level that the doctors had given all they had, and they told her, you can't have any. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
But there was also a very strong ministry of the Father's love into her. Straight into her heart. Until she could, in the spirit, she could look those people that did all that wrong to her right in the eye and say, I forgive you. I release you. You owe me nothing. And then the knife could come out of her back. Hallelujah. Give Jesus some more praise. Now let's jump down to Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Wow. Here is another thing that breaks the spirit. Dear, if you would please come on up here. Sherry's going to share a testimony with you of a young lady that experienced this very thing we're talking about here that we read in this verse. Sorrow of her heart overwhelmed her to the point where her physical symptom, her physical diagnosis was fibromyalgia. Tell the story, please.
So it was the end of the meeting, and Dave invited people up for actually, it was not the beginning of the meeting, between worship and sermon. he invited people to come up for prayer. And so this gal came up to me, and all she said was, I have fibromyalgia. And I knew immediately in my spirit that I needed to minister Father's love into her. So the best way I know how to do that is just to grab the person, if they're good with it, and hold them. And as I held her, I ministered some of these scriptures that we go over, like, this perfect love casts out fear and anxiety. And I also like 1 Peter 5:7, you know, help this person to cast all their cares at your feet. And then release everything to him in Philippians 4:6-7, where we give up our understanding and say, okay, God, I don't need to understand. But, you know, I wasn't really preaching to her, it was just little things came to me like that. And I held her and I held her and I held her. And she didn't let go of me, so I held her. And after a little while, my body got hot, and I said, do you feel that heat? And she goes, yeah. Then I knew I had to keep holding her. And so that's kind of a little instruction, too. If God uses you that way, if you're feeling that Holy Spirit working on that person, don't just, okay, goodbye. No, hold them. Let God do that deep work in that person. And it actually got a little awkward because everybody else was done. But I knew I couldn't let go until she let go. And so I did. Well, the next night she came back and gave this testimony. She said, I slept through the night for the first time. I have a 5-year-old boy that always wants to come jumping on my bed in the morning, and I would have to tell him, careful, honey, careful, because her body was hurt so hard. But that morning, she said, I was able to say, oh, come on up. She didn't hurt anymore. So the pain was gone, and she slept through the night. That's awesome. And then after we left, we kept in contact with the pastor, and he gave us part of her story. She didn't even want to come because she didn't believe in healing, at least not for today. She grew up in a church that did not believe that healing was for today. And in fact, she said, if I would have known it was a healing service that night, I wouldn't have come. But her husband encouraged her to come, even to come down for prayer. She didn't want to do that either. So there's another little lesson of God's mercy and grace. This was a person that didn't even believe she could be healed. And look what God did. He invaded her heart. He went into the depths of her heart and healed those wounded areas of her life. And today she's a living testimony to her family who didn't think God healed her. Isn't that awesome? Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. One more scripture in the book of Proverbs, over in chapter 17, verse 22. You notice we've had all these scriptures that talk about what breaks our spirit. Now we're going to find out why that's so important. In verse 22 of Proverbs 17, it says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Hallelujah. I found out early in revival. I entered into revival in 1996. And all these revival meetings I was going to, all these people were doing all this laughing, you know, which it wasn't religious. It wasn't proper. It wasn't all these things. And I found out very quickly that the Lord really meant what he said in this verse. A merry heart does good. You know, why are these people doing all this crazy laughing? Because God is healing their hearts. Really. It's amazing. I could keep you here all night with the testimonies of that. Tell your neighbor, I hope he doesn't do that. You got to stay on the subject here. But a merry heart does good like a medicine. And then the second part of the verse, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You see, if Satan could take you out, he would have done it by now. May I assure you tonight of the limited power of the devil and the unlimited power of God. Getting on the same page here, amen? If Satan could take you out, he would have done it by now. He can't. And for many, many people, Satan has to content himself with working from the inside, coming through thoughts, coming through hurtful words from other people, rejections from other people, sometimes rejections of yourself, and getting this stuff bottled up down in the inside of you, because I'm here to tell you tonight, that little statement that you heard on the playground is not true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Listen, words will hurt you way more than sticks and stones. Because in the inside of you, in your soul, they're stored up. And until you truly release them, until you truly let healing come and let the total radical acceptance of the Father, of you as a son, as you as a daughter, until that registers on the inside of you, it's very possible to have stuff hanging in there from years ago. And the longer it hangs, the worse it gets. Your physical body, yes, if you get a cut on your finger and you get it stitched up, yes, in a few weeks it'll heal up. In a couple of months, you won't even know it was there, right? That's not how your soul is. Your soul is very different. So the Word of God says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. If Satan can break our spirits, then he can get our bones to dry. And if our bones begin to dry, what begins to happen? Our immune systems are compromised. Our ability to fight off disease. All kinds of terrible things in the long term. You see, this Satan's working for the long term in these kinds of diseases we're talking about here tonight. Now, let me give you a testimony about this. I was preaching at a church over here in central Minnesota a few years ago. And we gave a call at the end of the service. This lady came up. And this is what she said. She said, I have osteoporosis. I think I would qualify for drying the bones, don't you? All right. She said, I have 33% bone loss in my body, according to the doctor's checks. And then she says, I don't want it anymore. I looked at her, and I felt the love of God come in a very, very strong way. And at the same time, this verse just started flying out of my mouth. It was kind of like speaking in tongues, but it was English. Seriously. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And it was like I hit her with a sledgehammer, and I hadn't even laid my hand on her yet to pray for her. She said, oh, does it say that in the second part of that verse? She said, I've quoted that first part my whole life. Said, does it really say a broken spirit dries the bones? I said, get your own Bible and check it. It's Proverbs 17:22. She pulls her own Bible off the chair. But the love of the Father was coming stronger and stronger and stronger. I laid my hand on her then. And the power of God hit her and knocked her to the floor. I know you guys have all seen this. Sometimes when you pray for people, they fall down. Everyone scream this right out loud. Why do they fall down, doctor? Scream it right out. Because they can't stand up. Sometimes that's deep. Tell your neighbor that's very deep. Sometimes when you pray for people, they jerk and shake. Everyone scream right out loud, "Why are they jerk and shake, doctor?
Why are they jerk and shake, doctor?"
Because they can't hold still. Hallelujah. She hit the deck. And she did not pop right back up. I would encourage you, if you, wherever you are, here or another meeting and stuff, if God puts you down, wait a while. He's got something he wants to do with you. She laid on that floor almost an hour. The love of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit was going over her in waves that you could see with your eyes. I kept praying for other people like this, watching her. It was amazing. She came back the next night. And her testimony was, "I have not slept through a night." I forget what the number of years was. It was multiple years. She said, "I'm always exhausted. I always this problem. Last night I slept like a baby." And I went back there a year later, almost to the day. And I was walking in the foyer of the church. And here she came walking up to me. And she was holding her fingers like this. I said, "What's this?" And she didn't say hello. She didn't say, "Hi, how are you?" She's like this. I said, "What is this?" She says, "That, sir, is a zero. That is how much bone loss I have in my body. According to 3 clinic checks with the doctors, I'm completely healed and I'm walking in love." Hallelujah. Now here's the deal. This whole class of diseases, that they are very slow in coming on. Usually they are not instantly healed, in my experience. But what happens is that love comes down and begins to soak and soak and soak until that identity of the Son, a son of the Father, that identity of the daughter of the Father is installed in the depth in that heart. And the reality of who Jesus really is. Not just as a ancient figure who's necessary to somehow get some kind of relationship to him, so I mumble this prayer out of my lips sometime, somewhere, someplace, and I'm going to heaven, bless God! There's a lot of Christians walking around under that. Now praise God for salvation. Amen?
Amen.
It's awesome. It's wonderful. But let it be rich and full and free.
Yes.
The fullness of his grace. Yes. And then let us understand that when God looks at us, he sees a whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Yes. He doesn't see this beautiful spirit that's here trapped in this miserable body. Yucky, terrible thing. That's the Greeks. Let them have that. The ancient Greeks. Let them have it. They can have it. We're going to take God's view.
Amen.
You say amen.
Yes.
And what's wrong with us can be fixed. And if it's this stuff, which is a subcategory of diseases, this is by no means everything that goes wrong with the human body. But every one of these kinds of things can be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Let's stand up together, please. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, it's very early. Go ahead. Tell them all Montana, it's 9 o'clock.
So tell you something.
Let me ask you a very simple question tonight. Before we trust the Lord for some amazing healings here. Here's my question. Are you absolutely certain that you have a relationship with this King whose name is Jesus? Have you repented of your sins and come to Him to receive His love and His forgiveness? If you haven't, tonight in this place is your time, and this is an appointment. And I want to just ask you right now, if you would please, if you're in this place and you realize maybe this would be the first time for you, or maybe you have been with the Lord at one time, but you just know you've drifted away. You know there's distance, there's stuff, there's junk in the way there, that relationship. And tonight you want to come all the way back in, or you want to come for the first time. I'm telling you, there is a love and a mercy here that can forgive every sin, just like we started with in Psalm 103:3. Because of this amazing love of this God, the Father in heaven, He sent the Son here to the earth to die and then to rise again. That cross and that resurrection stands at the center of all history. And it is what we refer to constantly, our salvation, our deliverance, our healing. If you need that tonight, I want you to slip up your hand, please, would you? Wherever you are in the house, you just need that forgiveness. You need that mercy. God bless you. God bless you. You know there's distance. You know there's space there. Yes, God bless you. Wow, this is amazing, you guys. All of you that just raised your hand, would you just be bold right now and just step right out and come on up here to the front? Yes, that's right, even from the back there, even from this side over here. Just form a line, please, right up here in front of me, if you would. I declare the mercy of God to you here tonight. I declare His love to you, a love that will never, never end. And what we're going to do right now is we are going to take the things that you have done that were wrong, they're called sins, and we are going to require tonight by our agreement with Calvary, with Jesus' blood, we are going to require that those get submerged in that blood of Jesus. And that they are not going to trouble you nor torment you ever again. Are you guys all in agreement with that? Is that that's what you want? All right, everybody, let's help them pray right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody in the house, join in with us, but especially you in the front here. I want you to pray this right out loud, please. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you now for your forgiveness. I trust you with simple childlike faith that the cross and the resurrection are enough for all of my sins. For all of my failures and my shortcomings and even my hang-ups, Lord Jesus, I receive you into me in the depth of my being for life of my soul, of my spirit, of my body. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for this identity that you are giving me right now as your child. Father, I thank you now that I can walk and live And move and have my being.
And move and have my being.
Without condemnation.
Without condemnation.
Without the false guilt of the liar.
Without the false guilt of the liar.
But walk in the freedom of the children of God.
But walk in the freedom of the children of God.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
And I will live for you the rest of my life.
And I will live for you the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What Sherry and I would love to do, if you would just have a little patience with us, please. So we'd love to come to each one of you and do what she talked about. She'll do the ladies and I'll do the men. Yes, Pastor Dave, I'll give you this mic back here in a moment.
Okay.
We want to come to you and we want to hold you. If you can. When we do that, it'll be for a little bit of time. Would you just imagine that the Father in heaven is holding you?
Amen.
Because that is one of his greatest desires. And I declare to you tonight, because for quite a few of you, it's father pain. That's what's been the problem. Everybody gets father pain. Some people get a little bit, some people get a medium amount, and some get a whole truckload. And I'm here to declare to you tonight a father whose love doesn't hurt. A father whose love builds you. It makes you whole on the inside.
We trust this message has been a blessing to your spiritual life. You can contact us with any correspondence or donations for the support of this ministry at Heart of the Father Ministries, P.O. Box 300, Rush City, Minnesota, 55069, or visit us online at heartofthefather.net, where you can purchase all of our products or donate online as well. Kingdom blessings on you.